Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, it's the Long Box guys here again, and welcome to our podcast. Always great to see everybody, or at least hear everybody listening in. Today I got all my friends with me again. Josh, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good, and I've got the Home Stretch Dark Chocolate Stout from Startline Brewing going.
And that is as big as your head. And the can is as big as your head. If you're only having one, have one of those suckers. Makes a Foster look like a wee dram. Tommy, what are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am drinking Old Major bacon-flavored bourbon whiskey that was given to me for my birthday. And I am doing fine. And it is not the best whiskey in the world.
You know, I was about to make fun of you because that just sounds awful, but you've already said it's not the best, so I'm going to let you live with that one. We have a drink at where I work because we don't have a liquor license. We make something called a Beery Mary. It's supposed to be a Bloody Mary, but it's basically just beer and tomato juice. Have you guys ever heard of anything so terrible?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty common, actually.
It's pretty
really? Bad. Beer and tomato juice?
Yeah.
Have you had one?
Yeah. I mean, I don't approve of it. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen it all over the place. It is not uncommon.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess I got to get out and drink more.
Or
Mike, Mike, we haven't said hello to you yet. How you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking a fancy lawnmower.
Well, I should mention that we're all doing this from our Skype, from our own secret lairs, and that brings us to today's topic, secret lairs and hideouts. Now, supervillains and superheroes have always had a place to retreat to. I think easily the most famous one of all time is probably the Fortress of Solitude, if not the Batcave. Those two probably tie for the two tops. And today we're going to be talking about what some of our favorites are. Josh has the longest list, so we're going to talk to him last. So let me ask Mikey, what's one of your favorite hideouts or secret lairs?
I am going to go with the Batcave. It was actually not introduced in the comic book. It was from the Batman movie serials originally. They had alluded to the fact that there were some underground hangars in the Batman comics. The writers of the serial took it, went with it, introduced the Batcave, and it appeared in the serial. And then they decided, okay, well, we better introduce it into the comic book. So it first came in January of 1944 in Detective Comics 83. It's gone through a lot of iterations. Originally, it was just a hangar. Then eventually it became more of a trophy room. There's the iconic stuff from the Silver Age that you tippy anytime you see the Batcave, the giant penny, the giant typewriter, the T-Rex. All of those are traditions. If you want to see a great view of the Batcave, I recommend you check out the current Batman series, issue 21, where there's the fight between Batman and the Reverse Flash. It is excellent.
A quick question, if you don't mind me asking. I know where the giant penny came from. I think I remember the typewriter. What the hell was the T-Rex from?
I will have to get back to you on that. But the T-Rex is always there. It's from one of the Silver Age adventures. I just don't know which one. Probably one of the giant adventures.
It is always there. It's the giant penny, the T-Rex, the typewriter, a couple other things I can think of. The giant Jack in the Box is usually in the background, but I don't remember what the dinosaur's from. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's it. I think I'm done. The Batcave is always his main lair, especially if you check out the Batman Lego movie. Have you guys all seen that?
Yes.
I have not.
Then you are a horrible person for not having seen it. You should definitely go check it out. It is probably my favorite Batman movie. I'm sorry, Christopher Nolan, but it's true.
All right, Tommy, why don't you tell us what are your favorite hideouts and or lairs?
Well, since Mikey is mentioning something that originated in a TV series, I feel that I should bring up my favorite, which is from Spider-Man and the Amazing Friends, Peter Parker's apartment, which, when he pulled on a statue, would transform into a mobile, well, not a mobile, but it turned into a secret hideout, crime analysis lab, and secret headquarters for him and his amazing friends, which was all kind of purchased for him by Tony Stark when he helps him out in one of his adventures. And I thought that was cool, and also kind of interesting considering that it was a New York apartment and it was, you know, basically in probably a 3-4 floor walk-up. And it was amazing that he would be able to do anything in a New York apartment like that.
I remember one time Miss Lion, the dog, and the only reason I remember that is because it was a trivia question. So, fun Alex fact, the stupid dog on that was Miss Lion. I remember once she got caught in the gears and was almost crushed to death. Or did I imagine that?
I can't comment. I just don't know. I cannot say for sure one way or another.
I have to admit, I am not an expert on that Coon series, but I think I would have remembered if I had seen it, but I didn't watch very many episodes. So as far as I know, that is true. And if you
dispute it... My gut says you're full of it, Tom. But that's just my gut talking.
I do remember that it was very funny that Aunt May would be like walking up the stairs and they'd be sitting around in their super tricked out crime lab, and then they'd pull the lever and it would be, you know, Peter Parker's dingy room again. That was kind of a fun secret lair, and good on you for thinking of that one, because that one was not anywhere in my, you know, brain when I was thinking about secret lairs. I'm going to talk about mine, and I went second to last because I knew no one was going to pick mine. Even though it might be in Josh's big list, my favorite secret lair of all time was Doc Savage's secret lair in the Empire State Building. In the original TV show, movies, and the radio shows and the comic books, they hardly ever said Empire State Building. They always said the most famous building in all of New York to, you know, issue trademark infringements and stuff. Very rarely did they ever slip up and say in the Empire State Building. Go ahead there, Josh.
What year was that published? Because he might have been talking about the Chrysler Building.
Absolutely, that's a great point. It might have been the Chrysler Building when it first was, but later it was very much alluded that it was the Empire State Building. I don't have all that information sitting in front of me. Doc Savage does go back a long, long time, and it could be pre-Empire State Building. You're correct on that. So they always said it was on the 135th floor of the most famous building in New York. That's probably – I don't remember how tall the Chrysler Building was, but yeah, it was it was this huge, sprawling penthouse that had all of the other seven guys' labs in there. So, you know, you had Ham's, you know, chemistry, and you had an electrical laboratory, and it had all these things. And as a young kid, I got like a blueprint layout of it in some comic book, and I would just sink into this stupid thing and like imagine where my workshop would be, because I was obviously going to be one of the sidekicks of Doc Savage someday.
What floor did you say their secret headquarters was on?
I think I said 135th. I might have just added 100 floors to that. I don't know. 86th floor. Awesome. It was on the 80s.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, it was on the 86th floor. It was the 86th floor. Because I do have that.
It would have been better if it was the 130th floor, because that would make it even more secret, because there's only 102 floors of the Empire State Building. So that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. The elevator getting there is a bitch, though.
Yeah. There's an elevator, there's a ladder, there's a treehouse.
You have to go through John Malkovich's brain to get there, but other than that, it's a great elevator ride.
Ooh, yeah. Good call.
It's a half floor. It's actually the 82nd and a half floor.
And you got to go through John Malkovich, and then you also got to go through Scott Pilgrim's brain, because there's a shortcut there also. Yeah, we're going deep, guys. So, yeah, I always imagined where my room would be in this headquarters. You know, I always thought maybe off to the library. There's very few bathrooms. I also noticed that. It's weird. As a kid, I was thinking, there's no bathroom. All right. So, Josh, you have the most. Why don't you tell us one or maybe even two of yours?
So I'm going to go. My first one is Muir Island. I always liked Muir Island. Just that little rocky outcropping off the coast of Ireland where the X-Men had their deep research and the team had I really liked that time frame for the team and the team compilation then. I really enjoyed that. And I think my other one, let's see, I'm gonna go flip side and go villain here and say the Hall of Doom. Because that just looked like somebody just lost Darth Vader's helmet in a swamp. And it was like my favorite thing ever.
Meanwhile.
Now, I know you don't watch Legends of Tomorrow, do you?
I do not.
Okay, so in this past season, season two, they're fighting a group of bad guys who they dubbed the Legion of Doom. And at one point, the Legion of Doom changes history and Star Labs looks like the Legion of Doom from the comic books.
Oh, so nice.
It's nice. Like, they show the parking lot and the Legion of Doom headquarters right there. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Hey, that brings us back over to you, Tommy. Tommy, you got another one for us?
Avengers Mansion. Formerly Tony Stark's mansion. He gave it to the Avengers. It's got 3 floors above ground, 3 floors below ground. It seems like someone is always tripping the automated defenses. Supposedly, Stan Lee based it off of Frisk Mansion on Fifth Avenue in New York, and it is on Fifth Avenue in New York, supposedly, in the Marvel Universe.
Fun Alex fact, who currently owns Avengers Manor, and how much did they pay for it? Anybody? Avengers Manor is currently owned by Luke Cage, and he bought it off Tony Stark for $1, which he technically had to borrow from Danny Rand because he didn't have a dollar on him. So, fun Alex fact there. Go on, Tommy.
I hope he had like the $4 million for the property taxes.
It's all true. He is going to owe a lot in property taxes.
I think Danny's going to have the
Heroes to Heart.
I hope Danny's going to have to take care of that part.
He's going to have to kick in.
So, you know, it seemed like somebody was always stumbling into the Avengers mansion and, like I said, was always tripping the automated defenses, which, for some reason, every supervillain in the world was able to get past. They just seemed hopelessly ineffectual, even though they were designed by Stark. But that was, you know, always one of my favorite not-so-hidden secret bases.
They should have had a dog like Ace the Bat Dog, because then they wouldn't have had that problem.
Or Miss Lion.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mikey, do you got another base?
I'm just thinking about poor Miss Lion, who was crushed to death in that one episode.
That was like the worst episode.
They shouldn't have titled it Old Miss Lion Yeller. That should have been the indication.
Yeah, they had to kill Miss Lion with a shovel.
Behind the secret base, it was horrible.
It was.
The worst inside joke ever.
So, my second one is the Justice League satellite. It first premiered in Justice League of America Volume 1, issue number 78, back in 1970. Originally, the Justice League's base of operation was the secret sanctuary in a cave in Happy Harbor. But because Snapper Carr kept on dropping by, they just decided to get rid of that, and they made a satellite. Now, here's the thing that always confused me with the satellite. They had technology to beam somebody from anywhere in the world up to the satellite, 22,300 miles above the Earth in geostationary orbit. Why didn't they ever use this technology for anything else? Like, to rescue people, to get them out of there, they never did it. It was only to get Green Arrow and Batman up to the satellite. You know why? Because the Justice League, we were a bunch of dicks. That's why. That is my theory.
Hey, you know, there's all these Starro creatures everywhere on the planet. Couldn't we beam them into the sun?
Yeah.
So,
use this technology.
So Snapper Carr was such a bad character that the Justice League decided they need to go to space to make sure that they got him out of their book.
Yes, that was the only way to be sure. They should have nuked Happy Harbor from orbit, and it would have solved a lot of problems.
That would have been the only way to be sure.
Mike, do you know the bandwidth charges to beam people around? I mean, it was like $6,200 just to get Batman's ass up there every time. You just can't beam everybody out of danger.
Yeah. It was like $6,500 if you had anything in his pockets.
They didn't even have unlimited plans back then. They could barely text between that station and the Earth.
All right. Anything else on that one, Mike? Are we just going to leave it there?
Just going to leave it there. Right there. Boom.
I love in the cartoon how they admit that they have this giant laser, so they're basically a floating, you know, death machine above the Earth. And that gets them into a lot of trouble, and they disarm these giant satellite station, de-weaponizing space, as almost every, you know, UN country has said they would do. But that's more for geeks. Ah, wink, wink. That secret space shuttle we have, wink, wink. My second one is going to be not just a, but is going to the evil side, and everyone already called this. I love Arcade, and I love Murder World. Murder World is this elaborate amusement park-like place where this assassin in Arcade would trap superheroes or supervillains or anyone who someone wanted off in this murder amusement park to kill them. If you escape Murder World, Arcade would shrug his shoulders, give the money back, and go, "Man, they deserve to live," proving that he either had a warped sense of humor or he gave up too easy. I would just have shot him again and put him back in Murder World. That's me. You know, Murder World's going to cost a lot of money to build. He made a giant pinball machine and trapped the X-Men in it. Giant pinball machines are not something you just buy off the rack. You know, he called in contractors. He had electricians. He had union workers, for God's sakes. Guys with Local 186 on their shirt working day and night making giant paddles to slap superheroes around. I don't know how he kept Murder World a secret from anybody, and I don't know how he got them made for the price it would take just to murder somebody, especially since his kill ratio wasn't great. I mean, he must have been murdering a lot of other people and then failing at the superheroes a lot. Like, you know, hey, kill my husband for $1 million. Done. Easy.
I'm betting he was murdering a lot of contractors.
Plus the 57 million YouTube followers.
We put in this giant pinball thing. I'm not sure if it's going to work. Wait, what are you doing? Don't press that button, boss. Don't press that button.
What's with the giant quarter, boss? Tilt. What's with the? That's where the giant penny came from in Batman's lair. So, yeah, Murder World was a lot of fun. I always liked Murder World. Back to you there, LT.
I'm going to go with Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum. Also in New York, in Greenwich Village. Once again, hiding in plain sight. Home of the Defenders for a bit. I thought it was a great little secret lair in the middle of New York City. In Marvel's world.
Yeah, that's a great one. All right, Joshua, your million other layers, go ahead, give me one.
You just want the one? What are we doing here? All right.
Maybe two.
I'm gonna go two, and it's going to be one word. Atlantis. That's Namor's and Aquaman's.
Way to double dip there, idiot.
That's right. That's right. I found the one that's two. I got a twofer. DC and Marvel. Both guys. Both working for the Atlantis act. You know, the action. I think, you know, for a lost city, certainly comes up a lot.
All right. Well, I just want to say that if I say the moon, I get like seven guys.
That's true.
Yeah, just saying. That's true. What do you like best about the Atlantis hangouts?
Well, first of all, I mean, how many secret lairs actually come with its own defensive population? I mean, we're not just talking like a few minions. We're talking the whole city full.
My next one is going to have a whole city full of minions, too. Try to guess what it is as we keep going. Go ahead, Josh.
Okay, is it Gorilla City?
Nope. Good guess. Mikey?
Keep going.
Was it Black Hawk Island?
It wasn't Black Hawk Island, but another good guess. Go ahead, give me a secret lair, Mike.
I did. Black Hawk Island.
No, give me give me your next pick on secret lairs, and we'll go over to Tommy. He can have a chance at guessing and spoiling my fun.
Okay, so my next one is Black Hawk Island.
Okay.
Wait, which one do you need, Mike?
It's Black Hawk Island. For those of you who don't know who the Blackhawks are, they were a group of ragtag pilots from different countries all around the world who were affected by World War II and decided to fight the Nazis and the Japanese, no matter where they were, as long as they were in the air. So they formed their own headquarters, Black Hawk Island. The reason I have an affinity towards it is, do you guys remember DC's Who's Who?
Oh, yeah, I love those.
Yeah, well, they had the Black Hawk Island. They had a diagram of Black Hawk Island in it where it had, you know, everything you need. They've got the hangar. They've got the fuel thing. They've got their coastal defense battery, which it's a secret island. I don't know why they need it, but they have it. They also have their administration and their barracks, the control tower. I don't know who operated that control tower because they all flew the planes. They even had a submarine pen, which seemed really odd because they always flew their planes everywhere. So I thought that was bizarre that they had a submarine pen. Fun Alec fact, anybody want to take a guess as to where Black Hawk Island was located?
I'll take a guess. Bermuda Triangle.
Good guess, but wrong. Remember, they were fighting in World War II.
I'm going to say the Azores.
They have an island in the mountain range? Is that what your guess is?
I was going to say the Canary Islands.
No, they were in the North Atlantic.
Huh?
All right, long flight.
Yeah, I guess that's why they needed the submarines to refuel. I don't understand, but whatever.
Well, they did have a couple of planes that could take off from the submarine, even underwater, as I recall. They had a couple of cool ones that would like right out of the water. I'm not making that up. It's cool. Tommy, what's your next one?
My guess is going to be Themyscira.
A great guess, but no.
Okay, my next one will be Themyscira.
Good pick.
Timely
Secret
pick.
Secret Island of pick. The Amazons. Home of Wonder Woman.
Go on.
Do I need to say more? I mean, secret home of the Amazons and home of Wonder Woman.
That's true. There's not a lot else to go on. So, Mike, you just said, you know, that Who's Who. I love the Who's Who, and I loved the Encyclopedia of Marvel. Those are the two things that, like, those were my two favorite things. Right there. Those were two of my favorite things when it came to, you know, comic books that came out. And one of the ones that I really loved was L for Latvia. That's right. My next pick is an entire country as a secret lair for Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom's castle in Latvia was the secret lair, its secret, not so secret home. At least it was his lair. You got to give me that. You can't say secret hideout, but you can say lair because he had, for God's sakes, he had embassies he could go hide out in. Which is awesome. So not only did Dr. Doom have a super cool high-tech castle, the entire castle tricked out with innumerable Doom bots. At least they seemed innumerable. Whenever you kill Dr. Doom, obviously you just killed a Doom bot, and that was that. So he has a billion Doom bots running around. He's got an entire population that is pretty loyal to him. One of my favorite things ever was the Fantastic Four land, and they come across this village, and all the villagers seem perfectly content and happy. And at the village well, there's a gold goblet. And Mr. Fantastic says, that goblet's worth millions. I mean, it's a gold goblet. How come nobody steals it? And everyone says, why would anyone steal it? It belongs to all of us. They'd be stealing their own stuff. That's part of the socialist utopia that was Latvia. No one would dare steal anything also because Dr. Doom would, of course, crush and kill them. So that's my pick. And talk about having unlimited minions at his disposal. Dr. Doom is right there.
True that.
Mikey.
I'm going to go with the Castle of Lions because it looks so damn cool. Now, while the Voltrons were hanging out there, the Castle of Lions was a pretty sweet pad. There's the newer version of the updated Netflix series, which was nice. But I really liked the whole secret launch pads for the lions to come in and out of. And I just generally like Voltron in general, so it's a pretty sweet lair, I think, overall. And, you know, nobody suspected there were five giant robotic lions hiding under that castle, except for everybody who saw them fly out every other day.
I've got Mongo. Sometimes lair and planet of Green Lanterns, where the Green Lanterns recuperate from whenever they get severely injured, and fellow Green Lantern, Mongo.
How is that the secret lair? It's an entire planet, man. I'm calling bull on that. That is not
it's a secret
lair.
Planet. I mean, it's a lair.
Planet. It's got a,
it's a lair.
Green Lantern ring right around the whole planet. You can see it from space.
Yeah, but Latvia is on the world map. It's not like everyone doesn't know Dr. Doom.
Latvia is not a secret.
I'll give you that, too. Latvia is a horrible pick, too. And I bet you Tom won't defend it, will he? No, that's right. Because you're a pussy, Tom. That's why you're not going to defend your pick.
Were we really – was it only secret lairs? I wasn't sure if we were doing secret lairs or all lairs.
Secret lairs and bases and hideouts. I guess that's fine.
Okay.
I think Mongo is kind of a base for the Green Lanterns. I mean, it's not Oa, but they kind of use it as a place to regroup and recuperate and train. And
yeah, I give you – it is a training spot. A valid pick, much better than Latvia. Josh, what do you get next?
Let's see. I think I'm going to go with it for the next coolest one is Castle Grayskull. Now, do you want to find a cool-looking building than Castle Grayskull? I mean, that thing had a giant skull out front. He rode a giant battle cat in and out of it. I mean, it had all the defensive things you need, the drawbridge. It was your classic castle. I really like the castles. I got the Voltron castle, got Grayskull going. I don't know if it really counts as a secret lair, but I think it might be kind of a secret because people didn't know that it was difference between He-Man and what's-his-name when he wasn't He-Man. Kind of a secret. What was his
name?
Yeah,
how could not... Eric, right?
Was it?
Wasn't it Eric? Something mundane like that?
Yeah.
And how
yeah.
did they not Bill. Know he was He-Man? Like, it was... what was his disguise, right? He didn't
it
have
was like spandex,
sword.
Like a
clothes.
Yeah,
clothes were his
yeah.
disguise.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, come on. He was practically naked when he was He-Man. Do you think the population was looking at his face? He was magnificent.
He's no battle cat, but all right. He was fine.
Yeah. I mean, at least Cringer changed color, right? And got the cool helmet. I mean, there was nothing better than a. There's nothing better than a nice Cringer to Battle Cat transformation.
Damn right there isn't. All right, who's next? Is that me? We're back to me?
We are yeah. back to you.
Back to me. All right, let's see. I did. I might have missed one because I had to take a quick phone call. So Punisher came out with the War Journals. The Punisher War Journals were pretty much just about his equipment, his training, and his multiple lairs. So the Punisher's lairs that were deep inside the sewer systems of New York were super cool, booby-trapped, connected tunnels that allowed him to get his battle van. Guys, remember the Punisher battle van?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, we really got to do vehicles at some point. Have we ever done vehicles?
No.
I don't think
we
have.
Can we talk about the cartoon mask when we do that?
Yeah!
You said Punisher War Journal. That was actually a comic book. You're talking about the Punisher armories where it talked about his weapons and his
Well, I think the War Journal had special issues where they were showing the stuff in the armory, but I absolutely could be wrong. This is a long time ago, and my memory's not what it used to be.
You could be right. It could have been features in the back. So
I think it was features in the back, but
I gave away all my Punisher War journals to my niece.
She looked awful cute in her Punisher outfit at the last New Orleans Comic Con. She did, actually did a great job. So the Punisher lair was just super groovy and cool. I loved the secret tunnels. I loved all the booby traps. Frank Castle was, of course, a little bit paranoid, as well he should be, because superheroes, supervillains, mobsters, gangsters, and police were all trying to find him. So it's not exactly paranoia if you're correct. And he was correct. Everyone was trying to find this lair. So I thought the Punisher's lair was super groovy. Josh, how many have we whittled yours down to?
Well, you just want me to give the full list as I saw it that I had?
Yeah, why don't you give all your honorable mentions? Because I only have like two left that I like.
Okay, here we go. So this is what I had for the list, and some of these have already been mentioned, but I'm just going down the whole damn thing. We had the Batcave, the Fortress of Solitude, the Baxter Building, Avengers Mansion, the X Mansion, Muir Island, Stark Tower, Shield's Helicarrier, the Sanctum Sanctorum, the Hall of Justice, the Watchtower, Teen Titan Tower, Castle Grayskull, Teenage Mutant Turtles Sewer Lair, G.I. Joe's HQ, Autobots Crash Ship from their Homeland HQ, Themyscira, Birdman's Mountain Lair, Thundercats Lair, Power Ranger Dome, the Castle of Lions from Voltron, Atlantis, Aquaman and Namor, Spider-Man's Apartment, the Secret Sanctuary, Doc Savage's Lair in the Empire State Building, Star Labs, Black Hawk Island, Wakanda, Mongo, Oa, and the Sweet Lair, the Sewer Lair and Battle Van for the Punisher. And for the bad guys, I had LexCorp Tower, Warworld, Asteroid M, Magneto, which is a great one, Monolith, Snake Mountain, thank you, Skeletor, the Hall of Doom, because everybody lost their Darth Vader helmet in a swamp, Murder World, Gorilla City, and Latvia.
Well, you really covered all your bases there. Anyone got any that didn't make Josh's list?
I've got Spider Skull Island from the Venture Brothers, originally owned by Scarmantula, but then taken over by Jonas Venture. I also have Bell Reef Prison.
Oh, good one.
The base of the Suicide Squad.
We could also mention Arkham Asylum, the ad hoc base of not only Dr. Victor Hugo Strange, but also kind of the Joker, because, you know, he used it more as an apartment than anything else.
Yeah, I would add Titan's Tower and Utopia.
Utopia, that's one no one mentioned. Josh did briefly mention Titan's Tower, but I was going to go over that because I hate Titan's Tower so much. The only other one is kind of a stupid one, but I always liked the junkyard that the Cosby kids would hang out in. That was their secret lair, the junkyard, where Fat Albert and the Cosbys would hang out. Not the Cosby kids, the TV show, but Fat Albert and the gang.
Hey, 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 have some Kool-Aid. Mmm, tastes funny.
Why did you do that as Yoda?
Because Yoda's there to rape them after they fall asleep.
Oh.
That's Dog, dude.
That was like
you and Dog.
Yoga and Kermit's kid. Fuck the cat.
That was actually Mushmouth after he took his hood off.
Yeah. Let's not do a Mushmouth imitation with the hood on. That was terribly racist. Just saying.
Really?
That might have been the last Pickney accent, actually, to be on major television, now that I'm thinking about it. Sorry, not to go off on...
I don't think Mushmouth was a Pickney, right? He was more of a Heba baby with the Beba Habanin.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of a
terrible.
Take. That was kind of a take
on it. I mean, it was awful.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's kind of a take on that terrible stereotypical accent that was used so often.
What about Top Cat's trash can? Does that count?
I wonder how big Oscar the Grouch's trash can is inside. I wonder which one is bigger.
Yeah, Top Cats or Oscars?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. The same. Nobody said Underdog Secret Lair. That was a cool one, too.
Oh, yeah. What about,
Mighty Mouse?
No, not Mighty Mouse. Although, Danger Mouse. The Pillbox.
Danger Mouse had a cool one, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool one, too. All right. So we're probably going to have to revisit Secret Lairs at some point because we couldn't mention all the really super cool ones. And I do want to do vehicles sometime soon, too. But I think we really have to move on because this is going to be a super long episode if we don't. Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box for us?
At the front of the long box, I have Princeless by Jeremy Whitley and M. Goodwin. So the basic outline of Princeless is she is a princess who is put away in a tower by her parents to wait for a prince to come and rescue her. She decides that is ridiculous and goes and rescues herself and decides to become a pirate. And she gets together a group of friends, and they go out, and they have wonderful adventures along with the friends that she encounters along the way. She takes the dragon who is supposed to be guarding her and says, hey, your whole job is to guard me until somebody comes and kills you. That's a bad deal for you. So the dragon agrees and joins the princess on her adventures. It's a great book. It's for all ages. If you have a little girl in your life, I would recommend you go buy Princeless. It is the Disney story that Disney has not told yet. It's really good. And Jeremy Whitley is also doing a similar vein on current Wasp series. He is contacted us and is going to be our guest in the next few weeks. So if you want to listen to that, feel free to go out, buy a copy of Princeless, and send us any questions that you have for the author. He'd be happy to answer them, I'm sure.
Mike, what do you say about what's like the age reading level for that that book?
I've given it to young girls as young as 6, and they have all read the book and enjoyed it.
Yeah, I also have a bunch of these, and I find them extremely readable. Not just readable, I should say. They're enjoyable. I mean, I'm a 50-year-old guy, and I really enjoy this comic book. The writing is kind of crisp. The artwork's kind of fun. It's a great read. So don't think that it's just because a 6-year-old can read it that you can enjoy it also out there, listeners. I know Josh probably already has. Josh, have you read any of these yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, shame on you. Some of these are really good.
Yeah, I'll check them out.
It's very entertaining, and it's not just for little girls, though. It's also for little boys, too, because when you expose people to different cultures and ideas, it gets them empathy. So little boys reading about little girls as the hero is not going to damage them at all. Provide them empathy for little girls. If you have any questions for the author, why don't you go ahead and write to us at luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com, and we will ask your questions when we interview them. As a matter of fact, there's a giveaway going on, right, LT?
Yes. This month we are giving away Spider-Man the Gauntlet.
And you don't even have to, if you are too lazy to send an email, you could just tweet us the question at, what's our Twitter account, Tom?
Well, what a very good looking question, my friend, and I'm so glad you asked that. Our Twitter page is, all right, I don't know right off the top of my head.
At the Long Box Guys.
Thank you! Sorry.
Every week I throw you that question, and every week you don't know what our Twitter handle is.
I'm very old. That's all I'm going to say on this one. And
but you do a great job at running our Twitter account. It's very entertaining.
Well,
if you guys haven't aren't following at Outside the Long Box Guys. No, that's not.
Well, it's actually just at the Long Box Guys.
Long Box Guys. Damn it!
It's not so damn easy, is it, Jerko?
It's easy when I edit all that out.
Yeah, we've been having a great time. We've also been talking a little bit about MassiveCon that's coming up. So, wrestlers, unfortunately, if anyone's not in the know, Harley Race recently took a bad fall at home. I'm going to put something up about that. He broke both of his legs in multiple places. We wish Harley Race, one of the true kings of wrestling, a speedy recovery. And I'm sure we're going to have lots of talks about that on our Twitter page. But that's a little bit off on a tangent, and I'm sorry to say that that's Joshua's purview. Josh, do you have a tangent for us?
No, I'd like to stay on point this evening.
God damn it, Josh. Tommy, do you got anything at the back of the long box?
I do have something in the back of the long box. I have Appleseed, the Promethean Challenge. This is a manga by Shiro Matsumume. It came out years and years ago, and it's now available on Comixology. It's published by Dark Horse. It's a story of a post-apocalyptic world after World War III. There's a new city that has developed, that is trying to build from the ashes of the the demolished world, and it's looking for survivors, and it picks up two people from the Outlands, Dunin and her cyborg partner, Bryros, and takes them into the city and kind of hires them on to be police officers since they are so battle-hardened and they're not really able to do anything else. And they realize that this utopian society isn't really made of all humans. It's actually made of clones and biomechanoids. And it's a really, really great manga series, and I highly recommend it for everyone.
For my little side bit that I like to talk about when it comes to social justice, I'd like to talk a little bit about something that's been going on in San Francisco for quite a while, and it's spread to a couple of other cities, and that is Kamala Khan being used as a poster on the side of buses to acknowledge and think about the Islamic State in America as not being the enemy of America, rather extremism being the enemy of America. When it comes to Muslim superheroes, there are very few to pick from. Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, is one of the few. She's a part of the IslamicJewHatred.com/ website that looks to stamp out that's it's being plastered over all of these other kinds of right-wing things that are talking about racism in America and pro-racist. So a lot of people have been taking to using Kamala Khan to be posted over these things. So if, for example, if there's, a pro-Trump rally or other kind of things where people think there will be hate speech, they use Kamala Khan's image as something that they're plastering over it. She's also been used on the side of buses in San Francisco to try to promote thinking of Muslim Americans as not the enemy of the United States, but rather as a someone that we can look to. That is a Muslim that isn't, anti-America, isn't trying to, promote some of the, I guess I can go on and on. But Kamala Khan's image is very powerful, and having it, plastered over these racist posters kind of sends a pretty strong message, I think. So take a look. Ms. Marvel being drafted by culture jammers in San Francisco and other places against Islamophobia. You'll find some pretty interesting, uses of her image. And it's kind of fun to see. And free speech is very important to us. Mike, do you have any plugs you'd like to say? Or do you just want to sit there and look condescendingly at us for this entire conversation?
He's just deciding how much to cut out and edit. Anyway, carry on.
He hasn't been recording for like 10 minutes. He's like, Captain Griffith, bloop.
I have a couple things that I would like to plug. First, want to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music. You can check him out at kirbycrackle.com. I would recommend people go check out geekorthodox.com. It is going to be selling fine pop culture prints and arts. They have a whole bunch of pop culture window stickers that you can put up into your window to make it look like it is stained glass, including the Pokemons, the houses of Slytherin, and all the other ones from Harry Potter, and a bunch of the spaceships. That's right, geekorthodox.com, coming soon to your computer.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's run by IanLino.com.
IanLino.com?
Oh, wow, Echo, that was great. Yes, IanLino.com, purveyor of fine geekware of all kinds.
Hi,
Josh,
Tammy.
Do you have a plug for us? Hi, Tammy.
Tammy's
so nice.
I'd like to say, she's so nice. I would like to say a shout-out to Friendly Neighborhood Comics and my favorite FNC person, Tanya, has left, and I would say good luck to you, and in whatever your next endeavors are, you will be sorely missed. I will have no one to chat with at the counter. That place is clean.
I was waiting for that. Tommy, you got a plug for us?
I'd like to plug That's Entertainment Comics in beautiful downtown Worcester.
Oh, speaking of Worcester, do we have anything else to plug that might be Worcester-related?
Could it be...
Massive Con!
sweeter than you think.
The last thing you want to hear in prison.
That's I just came up with their tagline. Hey, MassiveCon guys, use that. That's a free one. It's on me. Yeah. That one's on me.
It's on you. MassiveCon is bigger than you think. We are going to be running a table the entire con. Not only are we going to be running a table, but we're also doing one of our favorite panels. One of our favorite panels because it's our silliest panel, I think. And that is supervillains, stupid supervillains, and why we love to hate them or hate to love them. Josh, what's your go-to supervillain for this one?
I'm not revealing that on the podcast. People have to show up and listen. Don't give that stuff away. That ain't free.
That ain't free. I thought for sure you would say the house that bleeds dough, like right off the top of your head. That's an actual supervillain, people, and we'll be talking about that.
Thanks to Chris.
Tommy, you'll be there, right?
Stopping us.
Of course I will.
By the way, I was looking something up earlier, and I had my hands on the wrong keys, and I went straight to jimstaranko.com. How creepy is that? He's in my head, guys. He's in your my head.
He is in your head right here. In your head.
Just, I typed the wrong thing. I hit return. I'm like, oh, that wasn't, oh, no. And right there, Jim Steranko.
Whenever you need him, he's there.
Have you guys seen the Wonder Woman movie yet?
No.
I have. It was awesome. Wait, what's Steranko? What does that... What does that have to do with Steranko?
Oh, I could explain it, but Josh hasn't seen the movie.
Oh, give me a little taste. What the hell does that have to do with Steranko?
It has nothing to do with Steranko. It was just awesome, and I want to make Josh feel bad.
And that's going to do it for us here at the Long Box, guys. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for...
And Josh, is Kentucky your sector?
No, I will not be dealing with anything there because it is not my sector.
And Tommy, any last words for us?
Yeah, man. Don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love.
Love you guys, and I'll see you guys all next week. Take us out, Kirby Crackle. I do not like what's going on back there, Tom. I'm doing the dog from up. Best day ever!